The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
On the evening of Sunday, December 22nd, 2013, a 911 operator in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, dispatched officers to a home on the 14,000 block of Scott Street in the northeast part of the city after receiving a call from a woman about a disturbance there. A matter of domestic violence. The caller told the emergency operator that her boyfriend, 36-year-old Willie Cornelius Bowley, also known as Toot, had beaten her, and that she'd shot him. When officers arrived at the scene, the woman had already removed the firearms magazine and met them outside. Bowley, her boyfriend, was dead. This event, paperwork notwithstanding, ended there. The woman was, rightfully, never charged in the incident. And though Willie Bowley's life ended there too, it seemed to be only a matter of time. His record in Texas, consisting mostly of occurrences that took place in the late 1990s, shows a pattern of criminal activity and violence. Assault, criminal mischief, and terroristic threatening. And a few months shy of 2 years prior to Bowley's girlfriend shooting him to death in self-defense, another incident of domestic violence had caused him to flee from justice. He was still on the lam, in fact, when his life ended. On March 24th, 2012, around midnight, Willie Bowley and his 52-year-old wife were visiting a rural property in an area outside the East Texas city of Palestine, where he'd been building a house. Bowley and his wife had been arguing about their finances, and it continued at the property. It became heated, and he began choking her before throwing her to the ground and hitting her in the face and body, not only with his fists, but also with a plastic flashlight and a piece of PVC pipe. Bowley dragged his wife around, according to reports, continuing to hit her and kick her. Eventually, after sustaining intense injuries from his assault, Bowley's wife managed to escape, making it to a house nearby where an ambulance was dispatched to take her to the Palestine Regional Medical Center. She was treated for facial and body bruises, as well as a broken nose. Willie Bowley was arrested, but fled and hid after, presumably, making bail. Bowley could have been at one of a number of places. He'd lived in Fort Worth, Palestine, the Tennessee colony. But by December of 2013, of course, he was in Oklahoma. 12 days before his girlfriend in Oklahoma City decided enough was enough and shot and killed him for laying his hands on her, he'd been convicted of the brutal beating of his wife back in Tennessee Colony, Texas, though he wasn't present for the trial, still on the lam. Authorities in North Texas, too, had been itching to get their hands on Willie Cornelius Bowley. Not for a domestic violence incident, though. Rather, they sought him as a person of interest in the 2007 shooting death of a 67-year-old North Richland Hills woman. North Richland Hills, in Tarrant County, is essentially a suburban city of Fort Worth, and long before the area was officially incorporated and named, it was little more than a rural outskirt of Byrdeville, Tarrant County's first county seat, that no longer exists as a city, though the name Byrdeville does live on as a school district in the area. Eventually, one owner of a significant portion of land there, Clarence Jones, saw opportunity in the area's steady growth and in 1952 sought to annex a large portion of his land where his dairy farm stood into a suburban development. When Richland Hills denied his offer, it didn't deter Jones from going forward, and in 1953, after taking it to vote, 268 acres of Clarence Jones's land and the 500 residents therein officially incorporated as the city of North Richland Hills. By 1960, after swallowing the small town of Smithfield, among other small rural communities, the population jumped to over 8,500. Eventually, the city's 268 acres would grow to well over 11,000 acres, or a little over 18 square miles. By 1964, after a population swell that saw no signs of letting up, a city government had to be made. By the year 2000, as North Richland Hills' economy continued to strengthen, after countless strip malls, car dealerships, restaurant rows, a great deal of various industry, and neighborhoods were well established, the entirety of the city's rural areas gone, the population had risen to 56,500. The northern part of North Richland Hills was one of the last areas to be developed in the city, and the area's proximity to Keller, Southlake, and Colleyville, cities with large upper middle class populations, rendered the area highly sought after by affluent and semi-affluent buyers. 67-year-old Marianne Wilkinson and her husband, Don, were two such residents who decided to settle in the northernmost section of North Richland Hills in 2006. Marianne was born on November 4, 1939, in Dallas, to Dorothy Rose and Dr. Joseph Wilbur Borland. Her grandfather, like her father, was a doctor, Dr. Joseph Wilbur Borland, Sr., who invented a prototype of the modern incubator for infants born prematurely, an invention that has saved countless new lives since he conceived it. And Dr. Borland, Sr. also co-founded the Dallas Medical and Surgical Clinic. Marianne's great-grandfather was no slouch either. Judge John Bookout was one of Dallas's most prominent local bar members as a longtime lawyer there, his practice partner going on to serve as governor of Texas, and he as an associate judge of the Fifth Court of Civil Appeals and Chief Justice of the Texas Supreme Court. Marianne was raised in the Highland Park area of Dallas, graduating from Highland Park High School in 1959, where she was a member of the Junior Historical Society, Future Nurses Club, the Travel Club, and the Highlights, a mentorship organization whose members promote friendship, community, and cooperation. After high school, Marianne moved on to attend the University of Hawaii before ultimately going back to Dallas to graduate from Southern Methodist University. A member of the sorority, Zeta Tau Alpha, Marianne met the president of Phi Gamma Delta fraternity there, Jesse Don Wilkinson, who went by simply Don. The two hit it off in no time and married on the SMU campus in 1961 at the Perkins Chapel before settling down and having two children, Michael and Melanie, in Euless, Texas. Marianne and Don Wilkinson were doing well. Don was a chemical engineer, and though Marianne certainly had the education to go on to a successful career too, her first job turned her off the notion for good. She resigned after receiving her first paycheck. Marianne wasn't thrilled about the deductions from the check, the taxes, saying, "They'll never get another dime out of me." She has been described as stubborn in her beliefs and opinions. Marianne was no downer, though. Everyone who knew her spoke of her positivity, sense of humor, and, quote, "absolute exuberance for life." In 1993, the Wilkinsons moved from Euless to Keller, their new home adorned with paintings rendered by the artistic Mary Ann, who also happened to be a talented seamstress. By that time, they were the grandparents of four, Mary Ann lovingly called Mimi by the grandchildren who adored her and her doting. Since Don was retired at this point, he and Mary Ann enjoyed traveling and became highly active at the First Baptist Church of Keller, where they regularly attended. Mary Ann took up an intense interest in gardening and was a certified master gardener, winning Yard of the Month honors for 10 years while the couple lived in Keller, her roses particularly beautiful, before she and Don finally settled in North Richland Hills in 2006, after having a home built on a cul-de-sac in the new, quiet, and upscale Forest Glen North addition there on Spence Court. The evening of Sunday, December 9th, 2007, however, ended in terrible tragedy at the couple's still new home. "How's that? A perfect ending to a perfect weekend," Mary Ann said to Don as she slapped him on the knee. The Dallas Cowboys had just barely beat the Lions in Detroit, 28-27, after an intense and tight 3-hour competition. The rest of the day was quiet and normal. Mary Ann and Don were taking it easy, watching television. About 4 hours after the Cowboys' close win, just before 8 p.m., the doorbell rang. The couple were not expecting company, but Mary Ann got up to answer. She opened the door, which was decorated with a Christmas wreath, and had no time to react as an assailant fired a weapon at the 67-year-old woman. In the other room, Don was startled as he heard the series of gunshots. He hurriedly rose and sprinted to the front door of the home, where he found Mary Ann lying on the foyer floor, bleeding. A neighbor of the Wilkinsons dialed 911 immediately upon hearing the shots, and Don too called 911 for help, telling them he did not see the perpetrator, and though he was in a state of shock, he attempted CPR on his wife as the 911 operator instructed him on the procedure. Police arrived quickly, all but immediately in fact, and an officer also attempted to resuscitate Mary Ann. She was still alive, but struggling to breathe, the officer telling her, "Stay alive, stay with me." Despite the officer's best attempt at keeping Mary Ann alive, she succumbed to her wounds, multiple gunshot wounds fired at close range, at 8:09 p.m. Away creates thoughtful luggage designed to change how you see the world, a durable and unique product designed for the modern traveler, both in function and style. The carry-on and the bigger carry-on are both available in an array of colors. They're lightweight, but made with durability in mind, made to last a lifetime out of a strong yet flexible polycarbonate and an anodized aluminum. The 360-degree spinner wheels are a smooth and effortless glide, and I like that they come with a lifetime warranty. They'll fix or replace the bag if it gets damaged. And I'm pretty big on the removable laundry bag to store my dirty things, too. The optional, ejectable battery, though, is without a doubt my favorite part. I've been stuck at the airport with a dead phone, scrambling desperately to find a plug in every nook and cranny, usually with no luck. And it's the pits. With my Away luggage, I got the bigger carry-on in the amazing coast color. I'll never have to worry about searching for a plug again. A huge relief while traveling. Away offers a 100-day trial, so try it for yourself. And if, at any time during the trial, you decide it's not for you, you can return it for a full refund, no questions asked. For $20 off your first suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/gonecold and use the promo code GONECOLD at checkout. Again, for $20 off the very good looking and even more functional Away luggage, go to awaytravel.com/gonecold and then enter the promo code GONECOLD. Family, friends, and neighbors were shocked and saddened by the death of Marianne Wilkinson, shot to death as she answered the front door of her home on Sunday, December 9, 2007. It was unfathomable, beyond senseless. 67-year-old Marianne had absolutely no enemies. To the contrary, everyone she came in contact with couldn't help but be touched by the friendliness and kindness of the grandmother of four. The only immediate lead police had, presumably given by a neighbor who'd witnessed the perpetrator fleeing, was that the shooter wore a hooded sweatshirt and entered the getaway vehicle, a gold or tan sedan, by the passenger side door, suggesting it was probable another, a driver, was involved as well. The car, a witness said, turned east onto North Tarrant Boulevard, the only road to exit Spence Court. The witness said another vehicle passed the assailant's car while on Spence Court. Had Marianne's murder happened just a few years later, the likelihood that home and city surveillance cameras would have provided a glimpse of the shooter and the car in which he fled would have been much higher. But there wasn't much surveillance for investigators to view, and what was available provided nothing. We did search every camera we knew in existence, some of the cameras on the freeways, but we just could never find anything, North Richland Hills Police Chief Jimmy Perdue told WFFA-TV. On Tuesday, December 11, 2007, a cell phone was found near the scene, somewhere on the cul-de-sac, but investigator Larry Irving told reporters that they weren't sure if it was relevant in the investigation into Marianne's murder at all. Irving went on to say that a witness coming forward was their best bet for leads in the case. North Richland Hills police needed a good description of the car, and they desperately wanted to talk to the driver of the vehicle who'd passed the getaway car on Spence Court. "We believe he was speeding and throwing gravel," investigator Irving said, adding that the fleeing vehicle might stand out in someone's mind, and told reporters such in an attempt to jog a potential witness's memory who might be following the story. The area was still in development, so gravel and dirt often spilled out onto the road from lots where houses were being built. As the investigation continued, and as detectives looked into possible motives someone might have to kill Marianne Wilkinson, the confusion only mounted. There were none. Investigators, like Marianne's family and friends, couldn't understand why someone would want her dead, and Don Wilkinson, too, had no enemies, no one who would kill his wife in cold blood for retaliation or warning of some shady dealing or indiscretion. Investigators couldn't help but theorize that Marianne died as the result of a mistake. She was an unintended target, they thought. And as if custom-made to further muddy the waters, came a wave of paranoia via email and social media, Ding Dong Dead, or the Dallas Door Knock Gang Initiation. 3 days after Marianne was shot, as she answered her front door, on Tuesday, December 12, 2007, 16-year-old Kelvin Collier was shot as he answered the front door of the Fort Worth apartment where he lived. And the day after that, the 13th, a Fort Worth man answered his door to a man armed with a gun, though he was able to disarm the attempted shooter. These events led an unknown individual to feed the already present fear and paranoia that some residents felt when they began the following chain email, subject line, gang initiation. "Hey, I just heard that per Channel 8 News, gangs are now doing initiation by having the new members come knock on your door, and when you answer, they shoot you in the head. A 68-year-old woman, a 16 or 19-year-old, have now been murdered around the Metroplex. Apparently, the gangs are now moving into the Dallas Mesquite area and started doing this, so please do not answer your doors unless it is a family member or a person you know well. The email was sent to residents all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area, eventually landing a large presence on social media, which, luckily, wasn't as pervasive in 2007 as it is today. Police quickly shot down the knock-and-shoot gang initiation, saying that it had no basis in fact at all, and that the three shootings that had occurred that week weren't related. Both the man who shot Kevin Collier on the 12th of December and the would-be shooter of the Fort Worth resident on the 13th were identified, found, and arrested. Mary Ann's killer, however, would prove to be elusive to North Richland Hills police detectives, or at least evidence would. Though police were mum about the development until February of 2008, a strong lead had come to their attention within a day of Mary Ann's murder. On the cul-de-sac, exactly one block west of Spence Court, where Mary Ann and Don Wilkinson resided, on a cul-de-sac called Park Brook Court, lived a 34-year-old woman with an incredible story for police. She believed, she told them, that she was the intended target of the deadly attack on her neighbor. The woman said that she and her husband were currently going through an intense and hostile divorce at her behest. There were many points of contention between the woman and her estranged husband. She'd remained in the couple's $400,000 home that he wanted to keep. A trucking company that the couple both ran, too, was an issue. The woman claimed that her husband told her he'd, quote, run the company into the ground before she could get her share of it and his $13,000 a month income. Perhaps the highest stakes in their fight was the battle over custody of their two sons, one aged 3, the other 7. Both the woman and her husband made similar claims of violence toward one another, and restraining and protective orders had been handed down to both of them. The woman's filing claimed threats against her life made by her soon-to-be ex-husband, and threats made that anyone who helped her would meet the same fate, and included one instance of where the husband made a throat-cutting gesture with his finger directed at her. She was adamant that the bullets fired into Mary Ann were meant to take her life instead, and in addition to the divorce, the claimed violence, and the claimed threats against her life, not only did the woman live on a cul-de-sac parallel to the Wilkinsons that closely resembled hers, the houses similar styles and similar brick, but the number of her house was the exact number of Mary Ann and Dawn's. It wasn't necessary to look any further than North Richland Hills police records to deem that they took the woman's claims very seriously. After the shooting on December 11, 2007, a patrol car was ordered parked in front of the woman's home, and patrol officers ordered to provide extra checks and surveillance to the home as well. The woman's 45-year-old husband, Dennis Michael Taylor, and an employee of his trucking company, 44-year-old Vincent Lane, all but immediately became police investigators' first two persons of interest in Mary Ann's slaying. In February of 2008, when the police decided to release their names, they did so in order to generate leads. North Richland Hills investigator Larry Irving said that though neither Taylor nor Lane had prior criminal records, after speaking with both men, detectives felt that there was much to be desired, that they weren't telling police the whole story. We want to know if anyone else has any information that could help us with these guys. We can't call them suspects right now. That's important to remember, Irving emphasized to the press. Detectives had been working on the theory that Mary Ann Wilkinson's murder was a mistake, but after the line of investigation into Dennis Taylor and Vincent Lane, they concluded that it was not a random one.
Native creates safe, simple, effective products that people use in the bathroom every day. They create products with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. If you're not convinced, just check out the 8,000 five-star reviews they have from customers. Less is more with Native. Their deodorant has fewer, simpler ingredients, so you know everything that's going into it. And it's aluminum-free, safe, and effective. So you guys know that I love Native deodorant. It's really hard to find a chemical-free deodorant out there that actually works, but Native really does. And I love that they use ingredients found in nature like coconut oil and shea butter. And it really does. It lasts all day long. And I have to tell you, I was at Target the other day and they had mini travel-sized versions of Native deodorant in my favorite scent, the coconut and vanilla, but also in the cucumber and mint. So you can try out the mini version first and then come back and use our code for the full-size version. There's also no risk to try, as Native offers free returns and exchanges in the USA. Plus, Native comes in a wide variety of enticing scents for men and women. I've mentioned two, but they also have lavender and rose and eucalyptus and mint. They also release new, limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year and offer an unscented formula and baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. So starting September 30th, 2019, for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code GONECOLD during checkout. That's 20% off your first purchase at nativedeodorant.com with promo code GONECOLD. Bye, y'all!
On Easter of 2008, March 23rd, about 8 miles from where, in her and her husband's home, Marianne Wilkinson was shot immediately upon answering the ringing doorbell, dying in the foyer there minutes later. In far south North Richland Hills, a handgun was found on the 6500 block of Gerald Street. Ballistics tests were conducted on the revolver at the Tarrant County Medical Examiner's Office. Those tests confirmed, police said, that the firearm was the weapon used in the shooting death of Marianne Wilkinson. History of the revolver was traced back 29 years. They knew that the gun had belonged to a man who lived in Elk City, Oklahoma, last name Harrison, who died in a motorcycle wreck in 1980, and the man's roommate, who was known as Corvette Bob, also deceased upon investigation into the firearm, was the second owner. But they were unable to trace the revolver beyond him. Surely, investigators thought, the gun had changed many hands since. Neither Harrison or Corvette Bob had any connection whatsoever to Marianne or Don Wilkinson. North Richland Hills police knew that finding information providing leads to subsequent owners of the revolver was a potential goldmine for the investigation, but the search was fruitless, as were their efforts to lift fingerprints from the weapon. Hope was renewed on that front, however, when detectives working Marianne's case came upon a new and groundbreaking technique that Dr. John Bond was developing. A method that enabled forensic scientists to find prints, even if the object had been wiped clean, by detecting the areas where human sweat and oils has eroded metal where they've touched it. The only caveat, perhaps, was where they'd have to send the revolver and the spent cartridges that had been found within across the pond to England, where Dr. Bond was a forensic scientist at the University of Leicester and Northamptonshire Police Department. And that's just where the evidence went, accompanied by North Richland Hills Police Crimes Against Persons Detective Tony Roten, as to preserve the chain of command. Dr. Bond was successful with his method and lifted prints from the spent casings. though the North Richland Hills Police ran the prints through state and national databases and compared them to the two persons of interests known at that point in Marianne's killing, Dennis Taylor and Vincent Lane. They've never released the results. On July 31st, 2010, on episode 38 of season 23 of the television show America's Most Wanted, Marianne Wilkinson's case was featured, and again the case remained unsolved. After thousands upon thousands of man hours investigating the case, North Richland Hills Police Chief Jimmy Perdue told the press, "We have some ideas we believe how it happened, but we've not been able to go to fruition," adding, "Everything does still indicate that it was a murder for hire that went wrong. They went to the wrong place." Since Marianne was murdered on December of 2007, nearly 12 years ago at the time of this recording, police have received what they call valuable tips and have explored many differing theories, not to mention persons of interest. In 2013, when the woman who Willie Cornelius Bowley was beating put an end to her torture by shooting and killing him, the North Richland Hills Police confirmed that he'd been a third person of interest for some time, right alongside Dennis Taylor and Vincent Lane, saying that they think Willie Bowley was hired to kill the wife of Dennis Taylor during their tumultuous divorce, but rang the doorbell of the wrong house, on the wrong street even. The case is still open, and there are still the original two persons of interest, North Richland Hills investigator Keith Bowman told a reporter. Marianne's family was shocked at Bowley's death and subsequent naming as a person of interest. "Here's a man who's a person of interest for a reason, so he apparently knows something that could have been helpful," Marianne's son Michael, who's now a pastor, told the press, adding that he was touched by the North Richland Hills Police Department's diligence in their efforts to find who killed his mother. "I can't tell you how much it means to me that you've taken this as personally as we've taken it," he said, to which Chief Perdue replied, "We'll never forget, and we'll never stop trying." Michael's wife, Terry Wilkinson, said of her mother-in-law's senseless death, "She invested well with those she loved, and that's what we want to pass on and not be racked by bitterness and anger, because there's nothing we can do about it anyway. So if we let that control us, to me, then evil wins." Michael added, "For someone who was really that kind and that gentle to have their life taken away, that bothers you." Closure wasn't possible, Terry also said, because the event had forever changed them into different people than they would have been otherwise. But a restfulness, she said, would be nice. Michael Wilkinson's recollections of the night his mother died are vivid. The phone call from his father that night is among the most haunting of the memories. He kept trying to speak. He would say my name, but he couldn't say anything else. The Wilkinson family maintains Marianne's memory through social media on the Facebook page Justice for Marianne, created to share stories and updates about her case. Michael Wilkinson keeps his mother's favorite flowers in his front yard. Marianne's case remains open and is featured on the Texas Rangers list of top 12 unsolved homicides, with a Texas Crime Stoppers cash reward of up to $3,000 for information leading to an arrest. If you have any information about the murder of Marianne Wilkinson, please contact the North Richland Hills Police Department at 817-427-7017 or Texas Crime Stoppers at 800-346-3243. The Palestine Herald Press, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the Dallas Morning News, the Daily Oklahoman, the Independent UK, ScienceDaily.com, DPS.Texas.gov, Snopes.com, KLTV.com, NBCDFW.com, News9.com, and the Justice for Marianne Facebook page were used as sources for this episode. If you'd like to support Gone Cold, Texas True Crime, you can do so by donating at patreon.com/GoneColdPodcast. There are several varying donation levels to choose from, with perks to go along with each, including ad-free listening at all levels. Donations help us cover the costs of research and production, and we can't thank y'all enough for your support. Thanks for listening, y'all.